ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, sixth chapter, 37th verse. Is that up there? Yeah? Okay. Naham na yuyam yadritham gatim vidur. Naham na yuyam yadritham gatim vidur. Navama deva kim utapare sura. Tanmayeya mohita buddha yastvidam. Tanmayeya mohita buddha yastvidam. Vinirmitam chatma samam vichakshmahe. Vinirmitam chatma samam vichakshmahe. Naham na yuyam yadritham gatim vidur. Navama deva kim utapare suraha. Tanmayeya mohita buddha yastvidam. Vinirmitam chatma samam vichakshmahe. Naham na yuyam yadritham gatim vidur. Navama deva kim utapare suram. Tanmayaya mohita buddhai yastvedam. Vinirmitam chatma samam vichakshmahe. Please chant. Yashtvidam Vinir mitam chatma samam vichakshmahe. Ladies, please. Mahay. going forward with the synonyms. Na, neither. Aham, I. Na, nor. Yuyam, all you sons. Yat, whose. Ritam, factual. Gatim, movements. Vidhu, do. No. Na, what? Uta. Uta. I don't hear any response. Uta. Else. Apare. Others. Surha. Demigods. Tat. By. His. By his. Mayaya. By the illusory energy. Mohita. Bewildered. Budaya. With such intelligence. Tu. But. Idam. This. Vinirmitam. What is created. Cha. Also. Atma samam. By dint of one's personal ability. Vachakshmahe. Observe. So we go on now with the translation. The person who is speaking here is Lord Brahma, and he's speaking to Narada Muni, for those of you who may not have started at the beginning of the chapter. Translation. Since neither Lord Shiva, nor you, nor I, could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can see only this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. Please repeat. Since neither Lord Shiva, nor you, nor I, could ascertain the limits of spiritual happiness, how can other demigods know it? And because all of us are bewildered by the illusory external energy of the Supreme Lord, we can see only this manifested cosmos according to our individual ability. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Before I even begin, I just wanted to introduce this part with the understanding that so far, the several chapters that we have been the several verses that we have been doing have all been in glorification, in adoration of the Supreme Lord's incredible degree of superiority, and that none of us can equal it, none of us can exceed it, that he is in a class all by himself, and any time we get the sense and feeling and idea that we are lords, this chapter and these texts should perish that, destroy it, because all we are, as we will go on into this purport, is nothing more in relativity, just little tiny ants. However, this does not say that the little ants can be made into incredible giants by the mercy of the Lord. Since the mercy of the Lord, since God can do anything and everything he so desires. So it's not smothered or limited, but this is where we are at this time. So we have many times mentioned the names of the 12 selected authorities, Vadasha, Mahajana, of which Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva head the list of the first, second, and third in order of merit of those who know something of the Supreme Lord. They don't know everything, but they know something and much more than most of us, certainly, and most of the lower demigods. Other demigods, semi-demigods, Gandharvas. Just for those who don't know what a Gandharva is, somebody raise your hand and tell, what is a Gandharva? A little louder. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, exactly. Yeah, nobody can hear you, so I'll repeat what you said. Basically, a Gandharva is a person with great musical ability, and he plays. It's not he, but he, she. They're actually a whole sect of individuals who are musically inclined. They sing beautifully and they dance beautifully. So, I don't know the meanings of all of these different. So we have Gandharvas and we have Charanas. Anybody know what a Charana is? Nobody know? Okay, I don't either. I should have looked it up. Next is Vidyadharas. Anybody would know what a Vidyadhara is? These are all semi-divine beings. A Vidyadhara, we learn in the Krishna book that Vidyadhara was a very handsome, very beautiful, very amazing person. And he was like Narcissus. He became so enamored of his own beauty that one day, he was walking along and there was a sage. I can forget the name of the sage, but the sage happened to be, he's very well known, he happens to be rather ugly, you know, long nose, big chin, and all of this. So this particular demigod, or Vidyadhara, he began laughing in a ridiculing fashion. What a face! That kind of a mentality. So the sage did not think that that was, he himself personally was not wounded at all. But he didn't like the idea of some semi-divine being laughing at his ugliness because it showed great pride, it showed arrogance, it showed contempt, it showed qualities that actually some semi-divine being should not have been manifested. So what did he do? Anybody? What did that sage do? Yes, Prabhu. Loud, loud. Like we can with no mic. How did he curse him? What did he become? Anybody want to? No guesses. I want only facts here. Just the facts, ma'am. Okay. Okay. He became a big lizard, big snake. Don't you remember? He bit on Nanda Maharaj's foot. And then what happened is that Nanda started screaming, Krishna, 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 and Krishna kicked that snake. And that snake turned into a Vidyadhara. Anyway, I won't go into the rest of the story, except that the curse was not forever. It was for until the time that he would get kicked by Krishna, which was a great blessing. But while he was in a snake body, it was not such a blessing. It was hell. And then there are Vidyadharas and human beings or asuras. We all know what an asura is. Basically, it's a demon. And most of them are populated in the lower planetary systems. They cannot possibly know fully about the potencies of the Absolute Lord Sri Krishna. The demigods, the semi-demigods, a semi-demigod is like a half-demigod, not full. The demigods have a certain amount of power. They have certain qualities. And a semi-demigod also has, but less. The Gandharvas, whom I just described, are all highly intelligent persons in the upper planets. The human beings are inhabitants of the intermediate planets. That's this planet. And the asuras are inhabitants of which planets? Yes, the lower planets. Thank you. All of them have their respective conceptions and estimations of the absolute truth, as does the scientist or the empiric philosopher in human society. All such living entities are creatures of the material nature, and consequently, they are bewildered by the wonderful display of the three modes of material nature. Now, this word wonderful is not being used really great or amazing. It is used in the sense of simply being extraordinary. Again, all such living entities are creatures of the material nature, and consequently, they are bewildered by the wonderful display It's astounding, astonishing, but bewildered in the sense that they are attracted to it. They are mesmerized by it. They are hypnotized. Wow, look at that. Hey, and we have people here. Sometimes we have big cosmic showers of stars and meteors and things, and people get all excited about it. But basically, it's just matter being set in motion. But they think that that's something amazing or wonderful. These are all the works of Krishna. They are not the works of something that's just going on automatically, in the sense that they have no source or they have no creator. So, wonderful display of the three modes of material nature. And generally speaking, people of this intermediate level are afflicted or affected by these three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Such bewilderment is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Tribir gunamaya bhavaya abhi sarvam idam jagat, which means every entity, beginning from Brahma down to the ant, is individually bewildered by the three modes of material nature. No one is exempt. The bewilderment is in some degree. Those who are great sages, who live in the consciousness of Krishna, and who act under the direction of Krishna, they are not affected by the three modes of material nature. They are completely absorbed in the service of the Lord, and being so absorbed, they act under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and therefore they are always blissful, since they are always doing God's will as God wants it to be done, and consequently they themselves are blissful because they follow, they are obedient, and they don't put up an argument when the Lord gives them an order. Srila Prabhupada was given a nice order to come here. He didn't argue. He came here and did an amazing, extraordinary, astounding job. The very fact that we're sitting in this temple is a great wonder. It's not easy to do this kind of a thing. Anyone who has established a temple knows what I'm talking about. So, continuing, Tribhya Gunamaya Bhavya Ebi Sarvam Bidam Gunamaya Jagat. Every entity, beginning from Brahma down to the ant, is individually bewildered by the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone thinks in terms of individual capacity, that this universe, which is manifested before us, is all in all. That's the way the scientists say. Whatever we see, that's what there is. And then when they see something new, maybe a new planet or maybe a new meteor or a new something, well, that's what it is. But until they see something new, that's what it is. Because they are what you call matter-bound. What I see is what there is. But that's not the fact. Not what we see. It's what there is. And what there is known and seen and understood and directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to some extent his agents who work under his direction. Yes. Everyone thinks in terms of individual capacity, I'm repeating, that this universe which is manifested before us is all in all. Nothing else. You tell the scientists that there are other beings in these other planets. Blah, show me. Show me. Okay. So you tell him, take a look at your hand. What do you see on it? Nothing. Are you sure? Absolutely. Are you absolutely sure? Absolutely sure. Get the microscope. So they bring over the microscope and they put it on the palm. And what do you know? There are little thousands of little creatures crawling all over, which are invisible to the material eye. So what we see is not always what there is. There may be much, much more, and due to our limitations in our senses, we may not see them. Dogs can hear sounds that human beings can't see. Vultures can see from 10 miles up down onto the earth. So different species have different capacities different abilities, and therefore we get to know, again, this little maxim, that what we see is not all there is. This is very important. And when we have an open mind like that, we can open it to the idea, to the understanding, that you don't have to see God for there to be God. If you see the amazing, the astonishing, astounding things going on in the universe, can that go on by itself? Can babies be born by themselves? Can somebody put together all the cells that make up a baby and then say, here, I created a baby? The only one who can do that is the Supreme Lord. He simply has to think it. He simply has to want it, desire it, and it comes. But generally speaking, people like to be lords, and if they can some way be extraordinary, amazing, do what appears to be the impossible, sometimes people become magicians, and they make the bodies disappear. But it's all a trick. Sorry. And unless you know the trick, it seems very, very real that this man can make himself invisible. I've seen some of these shows. It is absolutely amazing. But when you find out how it's done, it's this practical science. Reason, A leads to B, and B leads to C, and C leads to D, and that's how it's done. But the magician hides many things from our vision, and as a result of the hiding, we think something is true, which is not true. Sorry. I've got a frog in my throat today. Now, and so the scientist in the human society of the 20th century calculates the beginning and end of the universe in his own way. But what can the scientist know? Even Brahma himself was once bewildered, thinking himself the only one Brahma favored by the Lord. But later on, by the grace of the Lord, he came to know that there are innumerable, more powerful Brahmas as well in the far bigger universes beyond this universe. And all these universes combined together form ekapad, vibhuti, or one-fourth of the manifestation of the Lord's creative energy. That's a very interesting story because Brahma, of course, he's always being adored. He's being bowed down to. He's being glorified. And it's only natural that he would think that, well, that's it. I don't see any other Brahmas, so I'm the only Brahma. I'm the greatest. I'm the most wonderful. I'm the first person, and I'm the creator, or at least the second creator. I get the information from Lord Vishnu on how to create. So I'm a very important person, and everybody should know this. Not me, but Brahma. So so there was once a story. Lord Brahma, he went and, to visit Lord Vishnu. And so he came to the door, and the doorman said, well, who are you? He said, well, I'm Brahma. Which Brahma? Which Brahma? I'm the four-headed Brahma. One, two, three, four. Okay, I'll advise the Lord. So he went to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, which Brahma? He says, the four-headed Brahma. Oh, okay. So they allowed Brahma to come in. And after he did, he spoke to the Lord, and he says, I don't understand the doorkeeper. He said, which Brahma am I? Is there another Brahma? I mean, I've never seen another Brahma, and everybody worships me as the glorifiable Brahma. So what Brahma is there? He was actually a little bit doubtful. He said, you really want to know? Yes, I do. So then next, a Brahma with eight heads suddenly appeared. 12 heads. 20 heads, 100 heads. So Brahma, four-headed Brahma, was becoming more and more amazed every moment. He didn't ever even knew that all these people, they were coming from different planetary systems. And all the Lord had to do was call them, and they would come instantly. So finally, I think there were millions of Brahmas. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think there were millions of Brahmas, and Brahma came to the realization that I am. know nothing. The Lord knows everything. And he can show us so many things by simply, you know, a bit like the magician. He just manifests things that are invisible to our own senses. So that's a very interesting. And that was Brahma, of course, had to learn a few lessons in other pastimes, such as when I won't go into it. I was thinking of the one in which the cowherd boys and the cow, the little calves, they all disappear, you know, for about a year. Yeah. You can see, is it a little louder, please? Yeah. So that's the way it reads in our books. So what happens is that Brahma gets very illusioned by this whole thing. He can't understand it. So I won't go into the whole details because we just don't have enough time to go into it, except to say that the cowherd boys, they were all kidnapped by Brahma, and the cows were kidnapped also. And the reason for that was that Brahma wanted to test whether this little boy Krishna was really his master. He wasn't sure. And if he could figure out what happened, he would say, well, then he must be my master. But Krishna did a bigger maya than what this Brahma did. Actually, what he did is he turned himself into all the cowherd boys and also the cows. And anyway, Brahma disappeared for a year or 1 second in his time and came back, and he began to see all the cowherd boys and the cows and the calves. And what's happening? So he went back to the cave where he had hidden them, and they were there. So they came back to the pasturing ground, and he saw there. So he was totally bewildered, completely confused, and he didn't know how all this was happening. So again, although he was so big, so powerful, so great, so grand, so knowledgeable, and yet he couldn't figure out this. Because Krishna is so greater, so much higher, so much more intelligent, that if you want to trick Krishna, be prepared to be tricked by a bigger, better, greater person. So, where was I now? But later. Yeah, came to know that there were innumerable more powerful Brahmas as well, far bigger. Okay, together. So, let me make sure this is the right page. Yes. I'll just read the last sentence so we all have it. But later on, by the grace of the Lord, Brahma came to know that there are innumerable more powerful Brahmas as well in far bigger universes beyond this universe. And all of these universes combined together formed Ekapad Vibhuti, or one-fourth of the manifestation of the Lord's creative energy. That's everything here on Earth and on all the other planets throughout this universe and the universes here. The other three-fourths of his energies or energy are displayed in the spiritual world. And so what can the tiny scientist with a tiny brain know of the absolute personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna? So we can see the depth, we can see the height of Srila Prabhupada's vision, that he doesn't see all this as the end-all and be-all. It's tiny, it's insignificant, and there's so much more. He's thinking in terms of the three-fourths, not the one-fourth, which is all the scientists of this particular world can ever think of. Or anyone living in this world who doesn't have this knowledge, all they can think of is the one-fourth vibhuti. Whereas Srila Prabhupada and the great spiritual masters, those who read these great scriptures, know that there's much, much more. And their vision, their understanding, their depth is so much greater than what goes on in the material world. And what is taught in the schools keeps people in a limited small, tiny space, thinking that's all and all. The Lord says, therefore, mohitam nabijanati mam abhya param avyayam. Bewildered by such modes of material nature, they cannot understand that beyond these manifestations is a supreme person who is the absolute controller of everything. That's great. No one can feel like a lord. How can you feel like you can feel maybe you're important in a particular position, but the Lord is one who knows everything. He owns everything. He is everywhere present. No one can do that except he who is the Lord. But of course he can empower persons to do the unimaginable, the impossible. For example, we have Yamaraj. Now, Yamaraj, he looks at a person, he knows all the sins of the person. How does he know that? Because Krishna gives him a degree of omniscience, of all-knowingness. And when he has that, of course, he can know things that ordinary or normal persons can never know. Unless, of course, they're empowered by the Supreme Lord. So coming to the next sentence here, the Supreme Person who is the absolute controller of everything. Brahma, Narada, and Lord Shiva know about the Lord to a considerable extent. And therefore one should follow the instructions of these great personalities because they know so much more than anyone else. Why? How come? Because they get it from God. And when you get knowledge from God directly, then those persons should be followed. And by following them, we learn things that we otherwise would never know. And therefore, one should follow the instructions of these great personalities instead of being satisfied with a tiny brain and its playful discoveries such as spacecraft and similar products of science. This is what we see. People are so enamored. You know, if a spacecraft goes to Mars or it goes to Jupiter, this is nothing. When we see what's going on in our scriptures and how individuals, those who are have perfections, they can just travel by desire to these different places. And here we are spending billions and trillions of dollars in order to be able to get a spacecraft there. Whereas these great siddhas is a person who has special secret in the sense that most people don't know that they have them until they're manifested. So, with a tiny brain and its playful discoveries such as spacecraft and similar products of science, as the mother is the only authority to identify the father of a child, so the mother Vedas, presented by the recognized authorities such as Brahma, Narada, or Shiva, is the only authority to inform us about the absolute truth. It's such an important principle. Don't believe everything unless you know where it's coming from. And it can be shown. That's what Prabhupada is always referring to. One shastra, another scripture, another. And says, this is where I got this knowledge. And it comes from God. So, when we have this kind of understanding, what we call an authoritative understanding, as opposed to a speculative understanding, we're standing on solid ground. And in that solid ground, we can continue to move upward, grow upward, and develop spiritually. But if we operate and act through speculation, it is very unlikely that we will come to the truth because it's just that. It's guessing. It's maybe. It's I wish. It could be. And that's what Prabhupada warned us against. None of that. It should be what is, what came from God, and what comes from the Lord. And we should promote those things or parrot those things because they are coming from the right source. And when things come from a wrong source, what we get is untruth, lies, falsehood. And when there's falsehood, there's what? Misery. There's doubt. There's uncertainty. There's trouble. There's difficulties. Even now they're having this problem with the COVID-11. They're giving these vaccines, you know, the one that just comes from the, you know, the baby powder company, Johnson & Johnson. So just recently, six women, young women, developed a disease after taking this particular vaccine. And the disease has to do with clotting of blood clots in the brain. And one of them has already died. So although they knew that they're not 100%, but they were not so knowledgeable as to know that they could be so dangerous. And so we have to understand that they don't know it all. And things could go wrong. And if they do go wrong, don't be surprised, because they're not perfect. But we hope, of course, that those things won't go wrong. Nonetheless, we should all take shelter of Krishna and just beg for his mercy, and whatever comes to us, do the very best we can to not only survive and subsist, but to be able to serve and love in the manner that we have been taught by Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Are there any questions or any comments that anyone would like to make? But if you're going to make a comment, do we have another microphone? If we don't, then I'm going to ask you to come up and say it in this mic so that hundreds of people who are listening online will hear you. Because if you say something that takes 1 minute, I can't remember that. I'm sorry, I'm not that advanced. Anyone want to make a... You're welcome. Anyone want to make any comment? If you do, please come up here. I'll give you the mic. Unless we have a good... Do we have a good working mic? Not yet. Okay. It's very iffy. No one here has any questions or comments? Thank you all very much. I appreciate your tolerance of my speech about bigness, greatness, grandeur, and the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna.